Test one, two. The mics are up. Audience and board, let's go to work and finish tonight's meeting agenda. We'll move now to an agenda item that we have called Policy Review. The annual work plan for the Board of Education includes the review of governance process, board policies. We call them GP policies, governance process. The board will review board governance process policies 1 through 17. Following a thorough revision and review that we did last March. So I'm thinking that our modifications to the GP policies will not be extensive. But we have taken a look at GP policies 1 through 17. Mr. Elliott, do you have anything that you would like to add before we go into this policy revision discussion?
No, other than to note that there was one that we have recommended redlined version for you on GP 13 related to the TDPAC purpose. There was a discussion last year to revise that purpose that was held by this board, and we did not get that carried through to the policy. So we're recommending that for study, that you take that under study at this point in time so that we can get that into policy moving forward.
Okay, so GP 13 is really in process.
So GP 13 with revisions only to the TDPAC portion of GP 13.
Okay.
And the request would be that you take it under study tonight and then take actions at a future regular board meeting on it.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Elliott. So we know going in that there will be minor revisions to GP 13. Hmm. Were there other policy questions that board members wanted to raise on 1 through 17?
I didn't have any policy questions. I actually found it really helpful to review those policies again and kind of wish that some of these were before us about 3 months ago, to be honest with my board members, to remind ourselves of our role, our limitations on that, and policy governance, that I think it's an important thing to, I should read it more often.
Okay. Other issues or concerns, board members? Okay. Then I believe what we are attempting to do is request that a revision of GP 13 comes back to us at another meeting for approval. So, Mr. Elliott, I would ask you to help us monitor that and help me make sure to get it on the agenda at a future board meeting. Perhaps it's as late as May, I presume. And then I believe then, since we had no questions or concerns, we have essentially approved GP 1 through 17 with the exception of 13, Helen. Okay? So I think that takes care of our policy revision. Let's move now to public comment part two. Since we have a total time allocation of 15 minutes, and as a board, we are willing to allocate up to an hour to public comment. We will go ahead with public comment two and allocate 3 minutes to each individual speaker. And all of the speakers that I show on here are individual speakers. So given that, I hope most of you are here for the guidelines that I'd ask you to consider before you speak to the board, but please address the board, and please be careful not to use any names of students unless they are your family members. So let's go ahead and get started with part two of public comment. We'll start with, I think, Reverend Nadine Swanberg.
Student in the schools, but I am a concerned citizen and I'm affiliated with Jefferson Unitarian Church. I learned something just today from an article in the New York Times that was actually sent to me by a church member who shares my concerns about student mental health. And this article is called "It Takes a Suburb: A Town Struggles to Ease Student Stress." It's a classic article, and I strongly recommend it for your attention. I learned a lot from it, and it summarized several things that I've been learning recently. So I'll point out a couple of things, and then I want to circle back through a few things I've learned through work with my church that we've been doing on student mental health. This article points out that the town of Lexington, Massachusetts, which is a very high-achieving town, found that their students were so stressed out that many of them were of low mental health or struggling with suicidal ideation, some attempting suicide. We have noted similar things in our town and in our area. They asked themselves what they could do about this, and they decided they really needed to mobilize as a community to create more joy, more support, more supportive and caring community so that their students would not feel so stressed out by their academics and the pressures that are on them. So now I'm circling back to some things we've done with my church and with a group called Together Colorado, which is a community organizing group. We started with approximately 150 one-to-one conversations with church members and others, and two things came to the fore. One was affordable housing. The other was mental health of students in the schools. So we determined to focus on that, and there was an upsurging of this concern from our constituency of people who said, we know students, we have people in this church who have attempted suicide or who are currently struggling with very severe depression, and the pressures are just unbearable. And our parents began talking about this stuff too. I want to thank those of you who came to our public action that we invited some administrators from Jeffco Schools and also some parents, and there was a talk back from the floor, and we think that we initiated a public dialogue about these issues of stress and suicidal ideation. We need to be aware that money won't solve these problems, and yet social emotional learning programs in the schools probably is one component of how we're going to get from here to the place we need to be, so that our students are not just academically maxed out, but emotionally, personally, spiritually bankrupt. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reverend Swanberg. Next, Bonnie Graham Reed. Oops, my mic is off. Let's start that over. Thank you, Reverend Swanberg. Next is Bonnie Graham Reed.
Hello, school board and superintendent. I brought you each a copy of Kristen Iverson's book, Full Body Burden, Growing Up in the Shadow of Rocky Flats. This book was fact-checked by Random House before it was published. And again, when it was published in the UK, that process was repeated by Random House UK. This book is factual, and I brought a copy for each of you because I would like you to read it and then consider adopting a resolution similar to what Boulder Valley School District just adopted to ban field trips to Rocky Flats. This book is factual. However, locally, there's an effort to discredit the book. Notable among those who say the book is not factual is David Abelson. He is head of the Rocky Flats Stewardship Council, and his salary is paid for by the Department of Energy. Please read this nonfiction book, and I am sure you will want to protect the health of children by passing a resolution similar to that of the Boulder Valley School District. As school board members, the well-being of children is no doubt dear to all of your hearts. I hope you will also view the March 14th meeting online and hear the scientists who spoke at that meeting. They are not allowed to speak here unless you would grant them special permission, but their evidence that they presented was amazing. So that is able to be viewed online. So no one, not the CDPHE or the DOD, DOE denies that there is residual contamination at the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. The refuge is the buffer zone for the plant and surrounds a nuclear Superfund site that has reportable violations. So I'm giving each of you a copy of this. Here's the chart of the recent reportable conditions that have been reported by the Department of Energy. So you can see that in the center of this wildlife refuge is a nuclear Superfund site with reportable violations. Approximately 15 full-time employees work there to monitor and contain the waste that is still there, which includes the original landfill for the nuclear weapons plant. So I have copies of each of you of this. It includes on the front our logo. We have a group called Rocky Flats Right to Know. We believe everyone has the right to know that it was a nuclear weapons plant. And this demonstrates the problem because they simply buried and imploded buildings. So I have a book for each of you and this for each of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reed. Thank you, Ms. Neal. Our next speaker is Marianne Whitney.
Yeah, I'm also concerned. I want to have children grow up healthy and safe. My dad was an engineer, and I learned very young that you do your surveying first, and then you plan, and you do your drafting, whatever. And anyway, this is a very complex issue, and I trust, because when I was here before, I was really impressed with how you people think about very, very complex issues and moving things around. You know, it's always changing. Well, Rocky Flats is changing too. An ecosystem is always changing. And the climate, we can, I think, count on the scientists that, yes, it's changing and becoming drier. And they had fires out there last summer, grass fires, and also Christmas Day, which was very windy. So the plutonium is moving around in the ecosystem. Also, I can encourage you to consider the Colorado public health and environment people in epidemia. I talked to someone in the epidemiology department, and there is a study going on about cancer in the surrounding area that's happening. So you can check with them. And the we go to the stewardship council, and the workers report, you know, that whenever it rains, then the level of plutonium in the water goes up. Well, I think you can figure out what's happening. It's hard to gather all this information, but yes, the website for the stewardship council is also available to you. So I wish I could take questions and answer any questions you might have, but the book is hard because it's horrifying to read these things, but I would rather that we learn what really happened and what is going on rather than wait and find out that kids get illnesses. That's not okay. I have a strong core value that we are responsible to help kids grow up strong and healthy and safe. So they can learn about nature, but there are plenty of places where I would take them, but I sure wouldn't take anybody out there. I mean, all they have to do, the plutonium that is the alpha particles, they're very tiny. You could breathe them, and that's hazardous to your health. If you drink the water or chew on a plant, it's hazardous to your health. If a child falls down and one of these little alpha particles gets in their body, then that's a source of cancer. Yeah, I encourage you to learn all you can. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Dr. David Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dr. David Snow, hydrogeologist and resident of Arvada, living for 50 years downwind of the Rocky Flats facility where the Department of Energy produced plutonium triggers for hydrogen bombs. In the course of 40 years of operations, about 4 tons of plutonium was lost from the inventory, mostly in the form of smoke-like fine dust that went up the stacks and was distributed around the site and downwind. Major fires occurred in 1959 and 1967. The U.S. District Court will soon be finalizing the distribution of some $375 million awarded for property losses to those within a 5-mile plume of fallout from the nuclear distribution. We know that many Rocky Flats workers died from cancer, probably from plutonium ingested and from other causes. It's not a controversy that alpha emissions are deadly. 1 milligram can be a fatal dose. The lost plutonium is still there since it has a half-life of 24,200 years, and it morphs into something worse than plutonium. Every animal autopsied shows plutonium, and the dust is redistributed whenever the ground is disturbed and the wind blows strongly, which is common up there in Rocky Flats. When I think of vulnerable children, I often recall a young Arvada boy we knew who developed brain cancer. The surgery left him horribly disfigured and incapacitated. He got into high school but never lived to graduate. The relevant fact is that his mother, our friend, worked for years at Rocky Flats and probably brought home plutonium in her hair or on her clothing. It makes no sense, safety-wise, to promote the wildlife refuge as a playground with trails and public access. The DOE, EPA, CDPH, and several peripheral cities except Superior are in error in their belief that it is safe because superficial surveys of gamma radiation indicate little hazard. Plutonium is an alpha particle emitter. A tiny fragment lodged in one's skull or lungs will keep pinging until cancer may produce may be produced. I would ask you to rule that no children in the Jeff's Cove School District be allowed to enter the site, at least until better proof assures safety. Please join the Boulder School District in that prohibition. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last speaker this evening, Paul Carlson.
First off, excuse my casual wear. I just came from my son's soccer practice. So my name is Paul Carlson. Check these out so I can see. I'm a Jeffco native. I'm a product of Jeffco schools. My kids are Jeffco students. And bittersweetly, I'm a Jeffco teacher for 38 more days. I'm retiring. My dad, Robert Carlson, worked at Rocky Flats from 1963 to 1989. He was in high-level management. He couldn't tell me what he did. I thought they made cleaning supplies up there. But my dad worked specifically in Building 771, which dealt with the nuclear waste. I remember my dad complaining as a kid about the lack of funds to do his job. He would complain that the government, you know, was giving us $1.50 to do something that takes several million dollars to do, though I had no idea at the time what it was. Later, after Rocky Flats was closed, and he could share with me some of the things that went on at Rocky Flats, he would complain that there was delays, and I don't know if you know how Rocky Flats operated, but they would have this waste, and they were developing this project in New Mexico called the WIP. And the WIP was an old salt mine, 30,000 feet underground, and it was taking its government. So it was taking forever to be completed, but they still had to deal with the waste. And as previous speakers have talked about, the waste was put in places that leaked and was not, you know, again, my dad complained about how things were not handled as well as they could have been given the lack of funds. When Rocky Flats was a Superfund site, my dad said, quote, "They could spend $60 billion over 50 years and they'll never get it clean. They spent $6 billion in 6 years. Just before my dad passed away in 2004, he told me about a month or two before he passed, he said, "I could tell you things about Rocky Flats that would blow your mind." And you can insert a couple colorful metaphors in there. As she stated earlier, Full Body Burden by Kirsten Iverson, a Pomona graduate, is an excellent read. It's a very fast read. There's also a book by Wes McKinley, who was the chairman of the grand jury called Ambush Jury. And that's another great read. So as they said earlier, don't believe the developers of Candelas. Don't believe Jefferson Parkway Public Highway Authority. Rocky Flats is not clean. And I would encourage that when it comes up, you do not allow students to go on to the wildlife refuge. I've told my students the wildlife refuge because they don't want humans there. So I appreciate your time, and please keep the kids safe. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public comment part two for the evening. At this time, let me make sure I'm in the right place. Yes. We will do agenda work. I'd ask Ms. Neal to join us for a discussion of our work calendar.
So I could actually start with the proposed dates for your meeting schedule for next school year, if you would like, since that's the more public agenda item. You have a list of 2 days a month before you, and I put together the schedule August through June, looking at the first and third Thursdays, avoiding religious and secular holidays, any conflicts I know of, conferences or holidays. And it would be coming to you for approval on May 4th if you don't have any different direction from the schedule that I've provided.
I had one question on it, but I don't know. I'll wait to your end. The November 27th that says the special meeting oath of office, is that, would that be after the Thanksgiving break?
Yes.
That really is, okay.
Because the canvas for the election isn't official until like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving because of how the dates fall.
Right.
So unless you wanted to have a meeting the day before Thanksgiving or the day after.
No, I just was making sure that isn't during the Thanksgiving break for students.
Right. So, well, the 27th is not.
Okay.
It's after.
Sometimes
the break.
The breaks seem to go on.
And it is a Monday, but it would just
so
be the oath of office.
So it's just after.
It's the
it's
Monday
just after.
After.
And it would be the oath of office,
excellent,
really, only.
Okay. Unless there are concerns, by colleagues, board members, I think what we say is we'd like to bring that back at the May meeting for approval by the board.
I have no questions or adjustments to suggest to what's before us. I would anticipate that we will probably want to get together sometime for kind of a board retreat sometime in either July or August with our new superintendent. Is that something we want to do now, or do we want to hold off on scheduling that at this time and just revisit it at a future conversation? I don't know how I just want us to know we have time enough to work around.
I think it might be best
to
revisit it because we would need that person's schedule as well, perhaps. I don't know.
That's my thinking, too. However, I think Ms. Stevens has a good point, and that is that we do want to put this in front of us, Ms. Neal. The concept that we would schedule a retreat, perhaps a retreat workshop with our new superintendent, before the school year begins next year. We actually did one this past year. We'd like to try to add that in, but I think we should wait until we have identified the person and let he or she help us schedule that, but similar to what we did last year.
Okay, I'll make a note.
Okay.
Then moving to your work calendar. So in April, your upcoming meetings, the 18th of April, The city of Westminster has invited you, as I mentioned at the last month's meeting, and I believe a couple of you are able to join them for dinner and conversation. Then on the 20th is the special meeting that Ms. Weber also discussed earlier. You begin in public session with a public hearing on the budget, and that would be an hour's public hearing. Then you move to providing direction on the budget for adoption on May 4th. You've provided preliminary direction to prepare the proposed budget for the public hearing, but this would be providing final direction so that you can adopt the budget on May 4th. Then you will also have a discussion of middle school additions, as you had deferred that decision, waiting for more financial information.
And I'm sorry, I don't, for some reason, the screen's not coming up for me. What day is that?
The 20th of April, your next.
20th, got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
And after those public topics, you'd be moving into executive session to review and finalize procedures and interview questions and screening candidates prior to the meeting on the 26th, where you will be interviewing in executive session. So those are your April meetings.
Okay.
Then moving to May, if you need another meeting to continue interviews, we are holding time on May 2nd. And then you have a regular meeting on May 4th, your next business meeting. We won't have any music, unfortunately. Schools don't provide that in May. You will start at 5 o'clock with an expulsion appeal. I think that's your first this year. So we'll be providing materials to you about that a week prior for your review.
That's on, excuse me, Ms. Neal, that's on May 4th?
May 4th.
We will have an expulsion appeal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So far, honors and recognitions are still coming in, but you, I believe, will have the spring sports, the academic awards to be recognized, and we'll, I'm sure, have more by May 4th. Whether or not you have your board reports, which I think since you did not have that today, you might want that in May as an agenda item. You have consent agenda items. You'll have monitoring reports on four policies, the adoption of the board schedule for next year, contracts, the priority improvement turnaround schools, as mentioned earlier this evening, and the revision to GP13, also mentioned earlier. Your discussion agenda and presentations are regarding the Family School Partnership Survey. It's going to be brought to you for about an hour's conversation and presentation. You'll receive the third quarter financial report and meet with members of the Financial Oversight Committee briefly. And you'll also do the same with the Capital Asset Advisory Committee. It's their annual report to the board. So they are coming that evening as well. Then you would be needing to provide direction to me about which policies you would like to review, given that you have monitoring reports for four policies, EL 2, 3, 4, and 10. Which two would you like to review on May 4th? And 3 and 4 are related to personnel, and 2 and 10 are more community type.
Okay.
And that would be your meeting.
It's an extensive schedule. Questions from the board?
The May 2nd date that we're holding out, at this point we're holding the entire day, and as it gets closer, we will know if we need that day and for how long.
Correct.
Okay.
We are holding that day, not knowing how much of it we'll need, and we'll decide that later.
Mm-hmm. So you want us to narrow of the four monitoring reports, which two do we want to take a look at
of the policies.
As policy review? And am I right to assume then that the next two would probably land in the June meeting? I want to make sure we're just circling up everything at the, you know, so that we've reviewed all of them within the course of the year. Okay.
And you don't need to make that decision now, certainly, but
I do like the idea of keeping 2 and 10 together. mm-hmm. and 3 and 4 together since they're kind of connected. And I say we start with 2 and 10.
Okay.
I think we're good with that. So we'll do 2 and 10 in May. Mm-hmm. And the other two in first June. Meeting in June.
June 1.
June 1.
And that's all I have, unless you have something else.
Anything else, colleagues? I think we're in good shape. If you're in good shape, I think we have a good plan, Ms. Neal. And having completed that work, I get to announce that this meeting is adjourned at 8:55 p.m. Thank you.